This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
I think you guys need to get off dating apps. This is probably going to be my most controversial opinion that I will have. And I'm standing on this. I believe this is my most controversial opinion because if we look at this discussion from a business perspective, especially as someone like myself who has a lot of real estate in the conversation and field of discussion regarding dating, it would be in my financial interest to appease the interest of the various dating app giants out there, because I could be making big money from endorsing these dating apps. In the past, I have done endorsements for dating apps, and I don't necessarily regret them or turn my back on them. In fact, I do think dating apps can be useful. However, I don't think people are using dating apps properly. But why I say my most controversial opinion is to get off dating apps is because I am someone who should, in theory, be promoting. Let's say if I was wearing my business hat on, ching, it would be in my interest to be like, okay, let me try and do a campaign with Bumble or Hinge. Maybe Bumble, because Bumble's the one that, like, they market themselves as, like, women-friendly, women make the first move. So I could, okay, let me do a campaign with Bumble where they get someone like me who is known for this kind of work to take part in a campaign for Bumble where I say some things that revolve around the theme of women being empowered enough to pick the men that suit them. And that can happen. But the reality is I am talking myself out of six figures by saying to you guys, you need to get off these dating apps. Get off these dating apps, okay? The men are looking for sex. The men are on there looking for a fresh, easy beat tonight. The men are looking for an opportunity to cheat on their wives. This is not the case for every man on the dating apps, but this is the case for the majority of men on the dating apps. It does not matter which app you switch to, whether it's Tinder, Bumble, or Hinge. Most men have an account on all three of the dating apps I just mentioned, usually because they want to cast their net as wide as possible. Because the more of the dating apps you have a profile on, the higher chance of finding someone who's likely to sleep with you, if you are a man. Now, if you're a woman and you also happen to have multiple accounts on multiple dating app platforms, then technically speaking, yes, it also applies to you. The more profiles you have on dating apps, the higher your chance of finding someone you'll connect with. But the problem is that men and women are not using dating apps for the same reasons, even though I believe that a lot of these dating apps are pretending that it is just this sanitized wonderland where you can just find love. All you have to do is just swipe and you'll find love. It's like these dating app giants are not going to make nuanced content about the reality of using dating apps as a woman, because you can't be telling me that these dating apps are positioning their apps as the place to find love, but then you meet any woman, just throw a bunch of women's names in a hat, pick one name out and ask that woman, what's your experience been like on dating apps? She's going to tell you that she's having a shit time. Scramble the hat again, take another name, okay, ask that woman, what's your experience like on dating apps? She's going to say the same thing. So if everybody's having a shit time on dating apps, but these dating apps are marketing themselves as the ultimate one-stop haven to find love, somebody lying. Somebody lying. And I get it. I get why the dating apps have got to position themselves as this, like, wonderland of luck to find love. Because remember, what they're selling you is the idea and possibility of finding a connection. And they are leveraging your desperation. That's why you have to pay to use these apps. In order to actually get the full use of the app, you have got to pay a minimum, I think on these apps, like £15 to £20 a month. And that's just to see who has swiped you. There are extra boosts you can pay for that will maybe put your profile at the beginning of someone's swipe when they log into the app. Or it will give you extra tokens so that you can super smash that heart button on that person so that you can come up first in their bunch of likes. All of this is strategically created in order to get you to pay for the chance to find love. Because love is such a commodity for people, right? And I think it's so fascinating because the same people who have profiles on dating apps are the same people who walk the streets among us. Do you know you've probably walked past some of the men you swiped on dating apps and you don't even know? Why I say that is because I am in a place in my life where I am keen on promoting the idea of meeting people in person, okay? In the 80s and the 90s and maybe the super early 2000s before Plenty of Fish, which is like probably the first sort of like iteration of what we now know as a dating app, or Match.com maybe. Before that, you had to be there, girl. Like, you had to go outside or you met someone at work. Like, you had to be at a party, you had to be at a bar, you had to be at a social event, or you had to be at work, or you had to just randomly bump into someone in the street or in a library and have your moment. That was how people did it. I'm not saying it's necessarily better, it was just different. But where I think there is benefit and leverage to meeting men in person as opposed to online is you have more of an opportunity to blow him away with your beauty, your conversational skills, depending on how much you talk to him, if at all you do talk to him, and your general energy. Okay? With dating apps, men have a lot more options. Okay? So that means a man can genuinely come across you on a dating app and find true attraction to you. You know, he's seen your pictures, you look pretty. The stuff you've written on your profile, he probably hasn't read it, but you look pretty. He likes the size of your breast. Okay, he swiped you. He's not going to tell you that he swiped you because he likes your tits, because he knows it's going to put you off. He's going to make up something, or he might, for the sake of extra razzle dazzle, mention something you've written in your profile. But a lot of these guys, they come across women who are just as beautiful as you. There are women who are just as gorgeous as you, just as smart as you, just as eclectic and exciting, because the dating apps basically have an algorithm in place, apparently, where if you pay more for your membership, then you get access to the women who are prettier, apparently. I've been hearing this because I've not been on a dating app since, I want to say the last time I tried a dating app would have been like beginning of 2022-ish up until like, yeah, maybe for a few months in 2022. And that was because there was a newer one called Field, F-E-E-L-D, which is a kink centric dating app where you can meet subs. I'm sure if you've listened to the Slumflower Hour podcast, then you've heard me talking about this several times in my earlier episodes where I discuss the app called Field, where you can meet subs and doms and ethically non-monogamous people and polyamorous people, and you can engage in all that kind of fun. But the reality is, those men are still, like, I remember when I was on Field, because I thought, okay, Field fits me a bit more because I'm a dominatrix and I'm open to using Field to meet subs. There was a time when I, which I'm not going to recommend because it's a waste of your time. But, you know, occasionally I've had guys send me money on the field. But it's a lot of sifting. It's a lot of, like, you have to really keep on checking the app and keep on swiping. And you have to pay for your membership, like with every other dating app. But with Field, it was like, when things were good, you know, I would sometimes have conversations with guys and get to know what their kinks are. Because aside from being enthusiastic about discussing dating, I like to see my therapist calls me a researcher. I'm like a dating researcher. So I'll be doing my little research. You know, I'll be asking these guys like about their kinks and like, oh, wow, when did you discover that you were into feet? All those things like that. But one thing that was really irritating was, you know, some of these guys who you connect with on that particular app, suddenly the tone will just change after you've been having a good conversation. And then they ask you, oh, so when can you spit in my mouth? Greet first. You don't have manners. Which one is, when am I going to spit in your mouth? Go away. Go away. I'm not spitting in your mouth. No. Or they'll be like, goddess, I would love to be your sub. Like, no, that's not how it works. You know what, guys? I feel like I might, if you want me to, let me know if you want me to, like, get on Field for the sake of reading, like, experimenting and sharing my findings with you in real time. If you're not familiar, back in the day, I want to say this was 2019-ish, I used to do this thing called Dating App Chronicles, where I would share anonymized screenshots of my interactions with men on dating apps, and it was hilarious. The reason why I stopped was because I just feel like sometimes when you talk to men too much, it feels like flying too close to the sun, babe. Like, you just get a bit singed and your brain cells really do suffer. Like, I'm just not a fan of talking to men. So that's why I'm just, the idea of getting back on dating apps is, like, I would only be getting back on dating apps for the sake of shits and giggles. So if you guys would like me to do a Dating App Chronicles series on here, let me know. I will be taking the hit for you guys. I will be exposing myself to men just so I can get this content for you guys. And my intention with interacting with these men will just be to, like, genuinely maneuver them in the way that comes most naturally to me and showing you what I'm seeing. So you can see that you're not the issue here. You're not the problem. If you're struggling on dating apps, you're not the problem. Men are looking for sex on dating apps and they are going to use whatever strategy will get them as close to the result they want as possible. So it doesn't matter if you're on a Bumble or a Hinge or a Tinder. Forget all the marketing that they're doing. The reality is, as long as men are not changing the way that they're interacting with women, you're going to be having a shit time on dating apps. So you can't internalize it. And that's why I think you should get off dating apps for a while. I'm not saying completely abolish dating apps. Like, I know of really sweet stories. I know people who have met from dating apps and got married. Love that for them. I know of people who have met men on dating apps who have gone on to spend loads of money on those women and have taken good care of them and they're having a lovely time. But again, to be able to find men like that, you need to have discernment. You need to be a baddie internally and externally, and you need to be able to walk away from men. If you can't do any of those things, forget it. But aside from that as well, I just think dating apps are a waste of your money as a woman. You're what? Paying? You're paying for men to ask you if they can see your tits after they've pretended to be interested in you. You're paying for the chance to have a man waste your time. Like, nah, really, really, truly. That's why I just think, yeah, I'm talking myself out of a big bag here, but I am committed to authenticity. I am committed to expressing my truth. I cannot be bought. You can pay me well to do the thing that I already wanted to do, but you cannot buy me out of my integrity. I just think that if I'm going to be endorsing a dating app, then what I will be endorsing is the mindset that a woman would need to have to thrive on a dating app. Meaning, if I'm going to be saying, get on dating apps and use this dating app or use that dating app, First of all, do you have the mindset to maneuver dating apps? Because having the mindset to maneuver men on dating apps means you need to be stern. You need to be quick to just dismiss them and block them on the account. And you need to not give out your number. I'm seeing this thing that I'm very irritated when I hear this, but I don't express my irritation because it's not my place. And everybody has their own way of doing things. But I get very irritated when I come across women telling me that they gave a guy on a dating app their number. He's not even taking you out on a date. I wouldn't even give him the Instagram. Don't give him anything until he arranges a date, girl. Now, the reason why I say don't give him the Instagram is because what I used to experience, which I know a lot of women are experiencing this too, is back when I was on dating apps, sometimes guys would ask for your Instagram. Which, of course, you'd think, yeah, good. He's asking for my Instagram. He's not asking for my number. My Instagram is a public profile. Like, I don't feel like I'm endangered or giving out too much personal information. You give a guy your Instagram. And then you notice, for some reason, he's not asked you out on a date because he's just taking your Instagram to look at you. He's too comfortable. The mystery is gone. The excitement has waned. If instead, when he asked you for your Instagram, you made a flirty comment and you were like, oh, you want to see more of me? Well, let me know when you're ready to arrange a date. Something like that. Because look, if you give guys your Instagram, they're going to be that guy who's watching your stories until one of you dies. He ain't going to take you out on a date. Then you'd be huffing and puffing, being like, oh, there's this guy who I swiped on a dating app and I really connect with him. But for some reason, he's not asked me out on a date. What do you think I should do? What do you mean, what do you think I should do? You do nothing, girl. You just charge that one to the game and accept that you've got another ghost loitering around you. Leave him there. So no, don't give out your Instagram. Let him, if he wants to see pictures of you, there's pictures of you on the dating app. That's what a dating app is for. Now, if he says something like, because this is one that I've heard women say very often, and I've had guys say this to me on dating apps too when I used to use them, when guys will be like, I don't really check the app often, so can you give me your number instead? Girl, why are you falling for it? He obviously checked the app often enough to have swiped you. Men will tell you that they don't check the app often so that you will feel the sense of urgency to give him your number so you can keep talking to him. No, no. If he doesn't check the app often, he's going to have to check the app more often if he wants to talk to you. It's as simple as that. Because the purpose of the app, especially seeing as you're both paying for it, the purpose of the app is to talk to people who you want to form a connection with so you can hopefully take that connection offline and meet and take it from there. So if he doesn't check the app often, then he's not going to be able to talk to you often. Then he misses out on the connection and he's put himself in a position to lose you. There, done. You don't be like, oh, he doesn't check the app often, therefore I'm going to give him my number so he can speak to me often. Because the reality is, you give him your number, he still won't talk to you often because you've given it too easy. Your number is an extension of you. Your number represents access to you. Your number is a personal piece of information. For you to give a person your number, you need to know them personally. Now, knowing someone personally is subjective depending on your definition of what it means to know someone personally. But I think it's personal enough if you've met someone off a dating app and things have gone really well, they've been respectful, and you feel like, okay, if after this date goes well, he asks me for my number, I'll give it to him. That for me feels personal enough to give the number. But even then, I would give him a phone number that is not my personal phone number. Now, I was recently introduced by my friend to this app called WhatsApp for Business, which it's still WhatsApp, but basically you pay £5 a month. This is not an ad, by the way. I genuinely discovered this like last week and I was like, what? Wish I'd known this earlier. So you pay £5 a month for WhatsApp Business. And what it does is it generates a phone number for you, but it's still in your phone, so you don't have to have another phone. It generates a phone number for you. So if you want to contact people who have that phone number from WhatsApp for Business, you just open the WhatsApp for Business app and all of those text messages go to that particular app. So they will not be able to access your personal phone number, which I think is brilliant because it means that even if you're online on your main personal WhatsApp in your same handset, they can't see that you're online because WhatsApp for Business is a separate app in your phone. and it still ends up being cheaper than buying a whole new handset like I did. Well, I didn't buy the handset. It was gifted to me a while ago, but I just thought, let me just make use of this phone. It ends up being cheaper than buying a whole new handset, paying for a monthly SIM card, and then installing WhatsApp on it. So if you want to be giving men your phone number, if you feel like, okay, it feels right to give him my phone number, don't give him your personal phone number because he doesn't know you personally. You give him another phone number that is still in your phone, or if you're like, I still, personally, right, even though I am marveled at the idea of this WhatsApp for Business app, which I think is a good idea, and I've downloaded it in my phone. I've not set it up yet, but I've got it in my phone. I will eventually use it when I go to Nigeria. But I still like the idea of having a second phone that has a SIM card in there and it can run WhatsApp. That phone, I use it when I'm on Wi-Fi. So the best part is, like, the phone stays off most of the time, girl. That phone stays at home. I don't care if the phone lives or dies. You know, if the phone happens to be on and the message goes through, great. That person will see two ticks. They will see one tick if the phone's been off for 2 weeks. That's their own. Whenever I do switch the phone on, I'll be like, oh, someone messaged me. Let me look. Oh, okay, this same guy. I beg. Because the reality is, if I'm giving a guy a phone number of a phone that I don't keep on me all the time, especially if it's a guy who I've met from a dating app, it's still really early stages with him. So I don't know if this is someone that I'm going to want to continue knowing personally. Now, the great thing about having a second phone is it is an easy way to exhibit and exude nonchalance without you forcing the nonchalance. Because if you give someone your personal phone number, you'll be all in your head thinking, oh, I don't want him to see that I'm online, because then he's going to think that I've seen his message and I'm not replying to it. But then he's going to keep on. But if you have a second phone and you're out with your friends, or you're out doing something, you're at work and that phone is just there, by the time you come back home, or by the time you remember to switch that phone on, it's organic. So there's organic time in between you contacting him and responding to him. Now, obviously, I'm not saying that if you've just connected with someone and you do want to see where things go and you give them the phone number of a phone that you keep at home, that you shouldn't at least try and keep in touch with them. But what I'm saying is, it will organically put you in a position where you're not going to have that phone on you all the time. So you're not going to be immediately replying to him. And that's crucial. That's crucial when you're getting to know a guy newly.
What if in 2024, you got a little bit better every day? When you're learning a new language with Babbel, that's exactly what you're doing. And if Babbel can help you start speaking a new language in just 3 weeks, imagine what you could do in a full year. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, and rooted in real-life situations. Plus, they're delivered with conversation-based teaching, so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. And this is why Babbel works for me. As a pole dancing girlie, as you might know, I enjoy going to Berlin to pole jam with my friends. And over there, German is a language that's spoken. And even though I studied German in secondary school, I've forgotten quite a bit of it, which I'm embarrassed to admit. However, when I use Babbel out there, it's super convenient for me because I can learn real life conversation skills, and it's easy for me to just pick up on the words I need to order food, ask for directions, speak to salespeople without having to scroll on language apps or feel that embarrassment of freezing mid-moment when you forget a particular word. Something I particularly find really useful about Babbel is their speech recognition technology, which helps you to improve your pronunciation and accent. Babbel has over 16 million subscriptions sold. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 award-winning language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. So in the spirit of us glowing up our language skills this year, here's my gift to you. I present to you a special limited-time deal. Right now, you can get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, only if you're listening to the Slumflower Hour, though. So you can access that at babbel.com/slumflower. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/slumflower. That's spelled babbel.com/slumflower. Rules and restrictions may apply. So maybe 2024 is your year of being a multilingual baddie. Well, Babbel's your friend for that, because Babbel is helping millions of people like yourself quickly and confidently have real-world conversations in a whole new language. I don't know about you, but I'm in the mood for brushing up on my skills, feeling confident and trying out new things. I've actually got a fun fact to share about Babbel. Did you know that Babbel's personalised learning content, real-time feedback, tracking and visualisations help keep you focused and motivated? That's why 15 hours with Babbel is equal to one university semester. Just think about that. All it takes is just 10 minutes a day for you to learn everything you need to have real-world conversations, from vocabulary words to culture. All accessible on Babbel.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You don't want to be too accessible, because it demystifies you and it makes the guy too comfortable too soon. He needs to still feel like a fan, as he should, because he is a fan. You are a fucking star, and he should be earning that closeness. So if he's not saying anything that's interesting, he's not going to get a response from you. And he's going to only be perceiving distance and occasional contact with you. So he's not going to know that you have a second phone that you've left at home. All he's going to see is that he sent you a message and you haven't replied to it yet. And he's going to think, oh, maybe I'm just not that interesting to her. Let me work harder to be a little bit more interesting. You'll be surprised. Try it out and see. But I'm not a fan at all. Anytime, I gave him my number. Stop doing that, guys. These men are collecting your numbers. They're collecting phone numbers and they're just keeping it in their phone. And whenever they feel rejected or bored, or they want to just procrastinate and cheat, they will just scroll through their recent chats, close their eyes, and just land on whatever number their hand lands on, and they'll message you. Obviously, I'm not saying they do it exactly that way, but what I'm trying to get at here with that example is that men will just use you as attention material if you give them the number with so much ease. You're there giving the number because you're desperate. They see desperation. And also, they think you're doing that with everyone, by the way. You might not be doing that with everyone, but they think you're doing it with everyone because it was too easy to get your number. It shouldn't be easy to get your number. Even in person, you know how I roll. If I meet a guy in person and I'm hitting it off with him, I'm going to still be like, give me 3 reasons why I should give you my number. Even though I already know I want to give him my number. But he has to work for it, or else he will not use that number. He'll just collect your number and then not call you, not text you. And then you'll be there thinking, oh, when is he going to text me? Oh my God, man. This guy was so cute as well. You start building him up in your head as something bigger than what he was because he's unattainable to you. Girl, flip the script. Flip it. And then reverse it. Because like, look, I just think that there is a lack of strategy that women are using on dating apps, and it's biting you lot in the foot. That's why I think you need to come off dating apps, take a 3-month break in between and go back on. Because another thing with dating apps is a lot of people will be mad. A lot of people don't want to admit that, like, especially if you've got ADHD, you can form a compulsive and comforting pattern of constantly checking dating apps. Like, you'll find yourself spending more time on dating apps than you're spending on Instagram. And Instagram is usually the most consuming app. But you'll be there on dating apps because you'll keep on scrolling, keep on swiping, keep on checking to see if the guy has seen your message. Keep checking to see if he's replied. And then you want to swipe another one. And then you want to check who's liked you. And you're just hoping that you're just one swipe away from finding love. You just never know. Just keep on going. And you're just on this hamster wheel. And these apps, that's why they want your money, because it's obsessive. People are obsessed with being in love. But what's really amusing and ironic here is that the people who do end up finding someone from these dating apps, it's not love that you're in, though. You're in a power tussle that is muddled with infatuation and competition with each other. Because a lot of these men too, they will put in their bio that they're looking for a relationship because they know that most women are looking for a relationship, and that is the guaranteed dog whistle that will produce the response they want, which is them sleeping with you. They will dangle the relationship over your head. They will make you feel like you're not good enough for a relationship with them, even though they're actually not even good enough to be in a relationship, period, with anybody, period. They're a liability, period, a burden, period, a car crash waiting to happen. But they're making you feel like you need to earn an audition for the right to date them. Are you guys okay? So that's why I'm like, look, be vigilant and be wary of the marketing that you're seeing coming from these dating apps. A lot of the people who they even book to be the talent that take part in these dating apps are also having a hard time with dating apps. And it's not a reflection on them. It's not because they are a failure or because they're undesirable or because they can't date properly or because nobody wants them. No, it's because men are on dating apps looking for sex. Majority of women are on dating apps looking for relationships, love, companionship. Yes, there are some women looking to hook up. And yes, there are some men looking for companionship and love and relationship, but the men who are looking for companionship, love and relationship are in the negligible minority. So what happens is most men will just put the things that they know that you want to hear, or they will include things that they know you want to see, especially the men who be carrying babies on dating apps. I think that's very strange. I'm always turned off when I see a man holding a baby on a dating app because, first of all, children don't belong on dating apps. That baby has not consented to have their picture being on a dating app. That's not fair. Secondly, that image gives me the impression that he's trying to pander to an assumed desire that he believes that women have, which is, oh yeah, if you see me holding a baby, then you're going to think that I'm a broody, eligible man who is likely to give you the fantasy experience you want, which is being with a man who's going to make a good dad because I can hold a baby upright. Like, stay away from those guys. Or, you know, men who they put things in their dating app like, just looking for a sweet girl to settle down with, and they're like 25, and it's like, what do you mean settle down? You're 25. What a lie. Which 25-year-old man wants to settle down? Like, unless that 25-year-old man is like clearly, the looks ain't his strong point. And he's genuinely someone who he just look, you can tell he's shy and awkward. Then maybe. But the reality is, dating apps, I would say get off dating apps, take a 3-month break, experiment with developing your skills of flirting with and connecting with people in person. Go outside more often so that you know how to carry yourself. It is challenging, especially if you're a nervous person. It's challenging to put yourself out there. You know, rejection is scary. Yeah, but like, rejection is scary, but you know what's scarier? Being dragged along by a man. Like, I get the fear of putting yourself out there and like not really knowing how to do it, where to start, but you just have to start somewhere. Like, imagine if you were in the 80s, how would you do it? Because I just think that there's a reliance that people tend to develop on dating apps where you become reliant on dating apps and you don't even question or confront the men that you're swiping on. Like, what age bracket have you set it on? Because when I used to use dating apps, I used to set the age bracket on. So when I was active, I would say I would have been maybe 26 or 20. Yeah, 25, 26. When I was like the most active on dating apps. And I would my minimum age was like 39. And even then, anything 30, too young. I don't want to hear 30 anything anymore. I'm not dating no 30 something anything. If I'm going to be on dating apps, I would be, as a 28-year-old right now, if I'm going to be on dating apps, I'll be dating men in their 50s. I'm not messing about no young boys. Like, if I want to meet young boys, I can go to Box Park Shoreditch. Like, it's never that serious. So you just have to really stay vigilant. And yeah, I would say save your money. And because you're paying, what, £15 a month for dating apps? You could instead use that £15 a month to go once a month to a bar by yourself, get yourself one cocktail and just expose yourself to the environment of being out of your comfort zone. I'm not saying you're going to get results overnight, because that's not how life works. But the more you expose yourself to your fears, the smaller your fears become. So if you fear being in an environment where you're around strangers and you don't know how to talk to men and you're scared of maneuvering mixed groups of people, that fear will remain for the rest of your life. And then you become reliant on dating apps. And then you become that person who is replaceable to these men. Because when you are amongst a carousel of women, you're more replaceable. But when a man meets you in real life, he gets to experience your energy. And that isn't replaceable. That's your moment. So consider that. And be, like I said, be vigilant. Be vigilant of these dating apps. Like, they were able to make a lot of money over the pandemic because a lot of people felt lonely. So they took to dating apps to connect with people. They were doing dates on Zoom and they were walking outside as a date. And so those dating apps made money from the rise in people paying for profiles on dating apps. And so now they can afford these bigger budget campaigns that we're now seeing where, you know, it's the Tinder and Bumble being really pushed to the forefront. And again, I have nothing against Tinder and Bumble. I'm open to doing work with Tinder and Bumble in future because, again, my ideas here are not to say completely get off dating apps. Because if I was really going to be 100, I would say don't talk to men at all then. Because whether you're in real life or on dating apps, men are looking for sex. They're not out here walking around being like, I really want to be married. I really want to wear a tuxedo with a white flower in it and walk down the aisle in front of my extended family. I really want to do that. Who will be that person? Where is she? No, most men leave the house wondering if they're going to get head today. Okay, so we can put that to the side. The reality is, you're not the problem. Dating apps are not the problem. It's men. So until dating apps are prepared to have an actual discussion about the reality of what it means to be a woman using dating apps and maneuvering men, everybody will still be continuously having the same problem and these dating apps will continue to wash over it and sanitize it and act like it's not happening and only focus on the minority of people who are actually finding love. Like, doesn't that tell you that your product is not necessarily what you're cracking it out to be if it's only the minority of people that are experiencing the thing that you are advertising to be the outcome of people using your product? Because if that was another product, then that surely that would be taken off the shelves. Surely, right? It's like selling detergent, but only like, what, 20% of people actually manage to get clean clothes from using the detergent. And then the remaining 80% still have dirty clothes after they use the detergent. That means the detergent doesn't work. So with dating apps, it's like they market dating apps as a place where you will find love and you will find connection like you've never felt it before. But the reality is you go on there and the man's going to ask you when he can squeeze your tits. Tell me I'm lying, because everybody seems to be saying the same thing. Oh, dating is such a terrible place right now. Dating is a train wreck right now. Why is that? We're not saying why dating is a train wreck. We're not saying why dating apps are awful. We're just saying it's the dating apps. We're just saying that dating itself is bad. No, it's not. It's men. It's men and their entitlement. It's men and them seeing dating apps as a shopping mall of pussy. It's men and them seeing these platforms as a place where they can just procrastinate and wank away their problems and use women as opportunities to just buy themselves more time to waste. And many women are happy to just offer themselves to the platter to be used because many women are desperate for love. So there's a disparity in this desperation here where most women are desperate for love and most men are desperate for sex. So what ends up happening is that there is a clash in intentions when these apps are being used. You're swiping people who are looking for sex, but they're pretending they're looking for love. And you wonder why you're having a shit time on dating apps. And then you internalize that. And then you feel like you're the problem. And then you hear someone talk about how they met someone on a dating app and it's going absolutely well for them. And then it makes you feel worse because you think, well, why isn't it happening for me? Because girl, it's a fucking dice toss. And the majority of the time, the dice will land on the number that represents he wants to sleep with you. Like, and the reality is, even if you are someone who comes across a guy on a dating app who's actually going to be what you want, most people don't have the mindset to sustain it because most women are desperate. So you have to go back to the beginning of the square one. The first line of that square is it's you. What does your self-esteem look like? What does your ability to walk away from a man you like look like? How prepared are you to throw the whole man away and choose yourself? Because if you can't do any of that, whether you meet a man in person or on dating apps, you're going to have a hard time. So before I wrap this up, thank you for listening. I hope you get something out of this. Again, I'm not bashing dating apps. I don't think dating apps are the evil here. I've made it clear that as long as men will continue to look for pussy, dating apps will continue to be a cesspool of disappointment. So don't take it personally if you're having a hard time with dating apps. Remind yourself that men are not very sincere people. And if you cling on to the hope that men are sincere and that if you keep on swiping, you'll find one, you are wasting your own time and you'll not get that time back. You will also not get the money back that you're paying to be on these apps. So take a break, take time, be kind to yourself and have fun, man. This is your only life. It's not that serious.